The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 351. I am one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
We got to avoid recording in the afternoons, man.
Why?
I'm wiped out right now.
I don't have
much energy right now, and I'm much...
Literally the exact same oomph and energy as in the morning.
Yeah, coffee? Yeah,
yeah. No, thank you. I don't drink coffee.
All right. I didn't know that. No. Really? Not at all?
No.
Is this
I drink espresso like once in a blue moon after a
keeps you up
dinner.
Usually a year.
Yeah.
Is this a taste thing? I didn't interrupt.
It's not a taste thing. I used to drink coffee when I thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was like a little kid and I'd go to my grandma's for Italian Sunday dinners or whatever, and then I'd have a cup of coffee and they'd be like, all right, fine. And I was like when I was like 10.
Okay.
And I just don't drink coffee after that. No,
after 10, you gave up.
Yeah,
you
basically.
Swore it all off.
Yeah.
Coffee, cigarettes, narcotics.
Yep. I gave up a kick cigarettes when I was 12.
Okay. Man. They raised you rough. I don't
kicked
know.
Kicked my meth habit when I was 14.
14. So that's why you got all your teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I nipped it in the bud before it was too late.
When did they invent meth?
I don't know.
I don't know. Methamphetamine's been around for a while.
And, yeah.
But the popularization, I think, has been like more. Breaking Bad didn't make it popular.
Well, sure. I knew that. Missouri was the number one place for meth.
Really?
Thing. That was this big calling card. But I wasn't sure when it started being a thing.
That's funny. I had a friend that lived in Missouri, and right next door there was a meth house.
There you go. That's what it was.
Neighborhood.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that third voice you hear in the ever rotating third chair is none other than the Reverend Jared Petty.
Greetings.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
I was looking through the stats. You haven't been on since like April.
It's been a little while. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm glad to get you back in that rotating chair.
The power
of Christ compels you.
Now, my head will start spinning around. There's a little projectile vomiting here after that. But that's an exorcism story. I could tell that sometime.
Do it right now. You have an exorcism story when you were a
reverend? It's not much of a story.
I want to hear it now.
Nothing
now
happened. There were some very nice people that were...
Jared used to be a reverend.
Yeah, a long time ago. And now I'm not a member of the Catholic clergy, so now I'm treading on strange theological ground but there were some people that were uncomfortable with some things about a place they were living.
Okay.
And they asked, and I thought about it, and went over and went through some of the rites there. And to be honest with you, it was really more to make them feel better than thinking there were any heebie-jeebies around the place.
Sure.
I hope I'm not offending them.
Sure they're big podcasts beyond listeners.
But there are these established rites of exorcism. And I don't, without getting too far down the theology rabbit hole,
uh-huh.
I don't really believe in casting spells.
Okay.
I don't think that if I say this, that the demon's going to do that or the angel's going to do this.
Sure.
I think there's it brought comfort to these human beings. And so I was okay with that.
Okay. Good. Yeah, so. You didn't feel so nothing was weird in there when you were in there?
No, no.
It felt like a normal house.
I have some ghost stories. I mean, I've encountered strange things
hear
in life.
Sure. Give me a strange one.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Is this really? It's kind of a divergence.
This is Podcast Beyond. It's a conversational podcast. It's the internet number one PlayStation podcast. Here's a ghost story.
So when I was, many years ago, I'm a Civil War buff, and I was camping on the Chickamauga battlefield with several friends, and we were teenagers. So Chickamauga's in Georgia. It was a horrible battle. Truly just god-awful battle during the Civil War.
Colin?
And, yeah.
Yes.
So I got someone here to test your stories, I'll tell you right now.
And Chickamauga, it's a big place and swampy and creepy, and but we weren't kind of creeped out at all. We're taking a walk at night down this road on the battlefield, and it was just for, you know, very pleasant, nice evening. And there's five of us, and we're all kind of walking side by side, right? And we're walking along, and there was light up in the sky. And somebody asked me, I remember, what that was. And I said, that's the lights of Chattanooga reflecting off the clouds, which it was.
Yeah.
And I just remember that being the last thing I said. And here's what I walked into something.
Uh-huh.
It just kind of boom, like that.
Yeah.
And I froze and I could not move. I just couldn't move. I was cogent that the people around me were also stopped. And try to imagine walking into something solid. And I know this is stereotypical, but something very cold.
Uh-huh.
And then instead of it going around you, it kind of going in you.
Uh-huh.
And through, and I remember to my spine, and then it like sent a shiver down my back.
Yeah.
And I jumped, and then I could like move again. We all looked around and was like, did you feel that? Did you feel that? And numerous profanities ensued from our mouths, and we ran about a half a mile back to our campsite.
Wow.
And when that was going on, there was this thing up ahead. I saw it was like a ditch with a bridge over it.
When you were running?
Yeah. Okay. No. When I was frozen, I'm telling this all wrong. When we were frozen there, there's this like ditch with a bridge. And we ran. We came back. We're all got tears screaming down our cheeks. We're like 16, 17-year-old people crying and freaking out. Well, finally, like we went back much later on, and there was nothing there at all.
Yeah.
And it was mass psychosis. But there's sure no creek, and there's sure no bridge, and there's sure – and I don't know. And that's it. That's just this weird thing that happened. So, you know, is that a ghost story? That's not all that great, is it?
No, that was good. That was good.
I lived in a haunted house. So that's a whole other story. But
the power of Jefferson Davis
compels
and the Confederates.
Yeah. Jefferson Davis, indeed. Six-year term, you know, might not have been a bad idea. But not Jefferson Davis, but the six-year term.
Right.
He was kind of a bad idea.
Yeah, he was dressed as a woman when he tried to escape.
Not true. Northern propaganda, my friend.
Northern propaganda.
New Yorker. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Podcast Beyond, the Internet's number one PlayStation podcast, IGN's PlayStation podcast. It posts as an MP3 every Tuesday. Sorry, we're a bit late today. There's some stuff going on. And then every Wednesday as a video that you can get on IGN.com, YouTube.com/IGN, and an IGN PlayStation 4 app that costs you how much, Colin?
Nothing.
$0.
$0.
Once you buy the PlayStation 4, then it's free.
The cost of your bandwidth.
Yep. Yeah, and the internet, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, and the cost of the PS4.
Sure. Your time.
The time. Cost of your time. Yeah.
The surcharge that Comcast will no doubt enforce.
Your electricity.
Correct.
Your electricity.
Right. Maybe some interpersonal relationships.
Other than that, totally free. You can watch all the IGN videos there. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
10 items on the list.
10.
So
like baker's dozen.
Number one's a little interesting. So I'll just read it and then I'll explain.
Okay, I like that.
At the 2014 Develop Conference in the UK, Sony Computer Entertainment President Andrew House noted that PlayStation 4 is already profitable and it's selling well in every region it's available in, perhaps with the exception of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't in the article, but it is not selling well in Japan, so I threw that in.
Thank you.
He notes that you'd have to go back to PlayStation 2 to find similar success, presumably monetarily. There are a ton of articles on IGN right now with more on Andrew House and what he has to say, as well as other Sony executives. So that's based on PlayStation 4. I will have an Andrew House quote about something else later in the Roper Report.
I think I know what it's about.
And I don't want there to be any confusion.
Gotcha.
But if you want to learn more about PlayStation 4 and Andrew House, you can go to IGN and check that out, because I'm not reading it all right now.
Okay.
Okay.
The similar success, Colin, is that hyperbole, or is there some credibility to that?
It's not hyperbole in real numbers. I mean, PS4 is selling very, very well. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people have been wondering, there have been some rumors that like it's at 8 or 9 million units sold now. The last we heard was in April, it's 7 million.
Mm-hmm.
It seems a little high to me, but we'll get more into the numbers in a little
while,
too. It's too damn high.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, why don't they say anything? And it's like, because they're not going to announce every million units they sell. Now, they'll announce it when it's at 10 million, and then they'll probably announce it when it's at 15 or 20, and then so on and so forth. It's not cool to announce, like, we have 8 million, 8.5 million, 9 million. So that's why they haven't said anything.
PS4 is still selling.
But it's slowing down for sure. Yes. Number two. The Last of Us Remastered has officially gone gold and is on the verge of being released. Word comes by way of the game's lead animator, Mike Yosh, who tweeted out a picture of a gold bar. The Last of Us Remastered is due out worldwide on July 29th, exclusively on PlayStation 4. I should have it in the coming days.
Ooh.
And our review will go live shortly, Gregory.
Okay. Like before the release date?
Yes.
Okay.
I suspect so.
Most excellent.
What was I going to say about this? Oh, we were talking this morning when we were on the train about, right. or walking from the train about the trophies in The Last of Us, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I kind of thought were bull. But rewarding in a way, like where you really had to dedicate a lot. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Can't say that anymore.
Yep.
You
have failed this.
Where we kind of, yeah, kind of have to spend a lot of time with the game. Now, here's the ironic part is I got all the online trophies, which took me like 45 hours.
Yeah. I just never went back and played the
other. Now, I think the rumor is that Remastered will have all of the difficulty settings unlocked from the beginning.
That is true. That's 100%
true. Assuming the trophies are the same and that they stack, you should be able to get all of them in two playthroughs because you're still going to need to upgrade your weapons and all of these kinds of things. But my greater hope, Greg, as we talked about on the train, was that they would do a completely different list of trophies.
Right.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
But that would be kind of cool.
That'd be awesome. They won't do it, though.
Number three.
Trophies.
Yeah. They're awesome.
By the way, I'm level 26 now. Thank you. 44 platinum trophies. On the verge of having 45th and 46th, which would be Pixel Junk Shooter Ultimate, which mm-hmm. I'm right around the corner on, and Guacamelee, which I just need to beat again on PS4. On hard difficulty.
Yeah.
Now, are you a level 26 paladin, or is that like level 13 fighter, level 13 mage?
No, I don't combine them. We can call it a paladin if that's what makes you comfortable.
It is.
But I do cast spells, but I can cast spells. I can use a sword.
Okay.
So kind of like a paladin. So but like, I don't do it necessarily for good.
Okay. Well, paladins do it for good. That's
yeah, and there's a religious connotation to it as well.
Yes, the spell on
there
me.
Is that. That's true. Although, you know, you got that weird, yeah, D&D religion. That's a whole other can of worms.
That's basically what I know Paladin from.
Okay.
Number three. Not number four
We're
yet.
We're getting there.
I'm very tired. Been playing Crimson Land.
How's
all
that treating
day.
You?
It's pretty good. It's on PlayStation 4. It came out
was
today.
Was that meant to tickle you? Wake you up?
No, I hate being tickled.
Don't tickle him.
Really?
I hate being tickled.
I learned the hard way.
Not even like...
You probably like hear me yelling stabbed. At Cheryl at night, right?
Well, I hear you yelling at your girlfriend. Yeah, a lot of things. It's always, God only knows what's happening in there.
She like loves tickling me because I hate it. Oh, sorry.
No problem.
All right. So she loves tickling you because you hate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's great. Number three. The director of Homefront the Revolution has reportedly left the studio creating at Crytek UK, presumably under bad terms. Hazid Zala walked away amongst rampant rumors that the studio is effectively falling apart, with folks not getting paid, employees ceasing work on the title and protest, and more. Kotaku has much more on the developments going on at Crytek UK. Again, as we said last week, great reporting going on over there. Interesting story. Rumor is that Deep Silver might come in and save the studio itself. My thinking is that Homefront the Revolution might not come out at all. The story about, you know, even though it affects real people and this is very sad and hopefully all of these people find different jobs, whether they're Crytek UK or Crytek in Germany. Thinking Todd Pappy left Santa Monica to go there, for instance. Todd Pappy, of course, longtime director of God of War. It's kind of fascinating watching this unravel, I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, we wish the very best to everyone that's affected by it, but how this happens, why this is happening, apparently has to do, you know, maybe somewhat with their engine not taking off, CryEngine, and also just maybe spreading themselves too thin with some of these games. It's really interesting to think that the original Crysis was like a huge hit, and they made Far Cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which like they, like, so like they have good talent and good pedigree there, but...
Watching, I mean, it removed from the personal element, watching something collapse is certainly compelling reading. I mean, it's
absolutely.
A compelling story.
Especially if it goes piece by piece.
Yeah, if it goes
it's not
like
just over. It's like slowly bleeding out.
It's almost, I can't remember the last time since something like Ion Storm that you just had this absolute, complete kind of Machiavellian unraveling mm-hmm. taking place.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Our best, of course, goes out to all those affected. A lot of people are finding new jobs, apparently.
Thank goodness.
And a lot of the guys have stopped working because they haven't been being paid, which mm-hmm. is what I would do. So, I wish the very best to these guys and gals that are being affected by this. But, yeah, the story is going to be more interesting than the game, as is always the case, or usually the case. Number four. Tekken 7 has officially been announced by Bandai Namco and was revealed. It just says here, it says it was revealed at E3, but that's not true. It was revealed at EVO.
EVO.
It will run on Epic Games' Unreal Engine 4, which is interesting, and will launch at an undetermined point in the future. Very little else is currently known about it.
Yay.
Okay. I don't really care.
I'm happy
it.
About the Tekken 7.
Yeah?
Totally. Sure. I'm not a good fighting games guy, but when I was living in Japan, Tekken 6 had just come out in arcades there, right around the time I moved there. And it was cool to just walk in and see, you know, the lines of people face off, you know, those face-to-face style cabinets they have there and people battling it out. And it was a very vibrant scene to walk into.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't any good at it at all, people were still very, very happy to kick your butt and be friendly to you after they did it. And it was neat to see. So that whole fighting game thing, it's that sense of community that I think is really cool. So this will further that. Hooray. Yay, games.
Hooray, communities.
Number five.
Number five.
Now we're back to Andrew House again, okay?
Andy House,
don't
here
get confused.
He is.
Please don't get confused. Sony's Andrew House notes that the future of PS Vita may be very different in Japan, where it's starting to find its footing as opposed to the West, where it's found only niche success. Is this what you thought?
No.
I was going to say no. In a conversation with IGN, House notes that, quote, this is a long quote, so stay with me here. I certainly think you'll see Vita as a AAA machine in Japan, where it has a different function with the console dynamic of the marketplace. That, for me, is a given. It's hard to say in terms of other markets. I think remote play is still in its nascent stages. I think we need to have better understanding. We know a lot of players are embracing and using it and seem to like the experience a lot. But necessarily that changes that dynamic. You know, if you can play your PlayStation 4 content at will on Vita, then does that obviate the necessity of having AAA content or not? I think that question will stay unanswered for a bit.
Andy House throwing out those big words.
Obviate's a great word.
Yeah, it is. He's using big words, but also annoying argument that I've been hearing a lot from Sony executives in the last few months. Yes, we want AAA games on Vita, and you have to have them on Vita. So, yeah, Freedom War is doing very well over in Japan, etc. You know, Vita's obviously picking up in Japan. Just past 3 million sold over there, which is nice for it. But yeah, we need more AAA titles, and they need to pay for them. Maybe like that BioShock Final Fantasy Tactics game that we talked about last week would be a good one to start with.
Oh, that would that's everything I want in life. And so sad.
That is
so
literally sad. Everything I
yeah,
want in life. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, that's kind of wonderful. Mm-hmm. Let's get this. You can hear the Sega Saturn song kind of playing in the background here. Again, that's been pointed out many times, but here we're looking at a platform that's going to have strong Japanese support for a while, and we're going to get what trickle we have, and cry and be sad. I'm afraid that's what we're looking at.
Yes.
Andrew from England writes into Beyond at IGN.com.
Wait, Andrew from England? Andy
just like
House?
You can. If, I hope so, but I don't
Andrew
think
House?
So. He
Real,
wouldn't have done
is he obviating?
He's not obviating. Good morning, Greg. Colin, the ever-rotating third chair. After hearing the recent news about Sony admitting that fewer first-party games are on their way, I feel it's time to let go of the Vita after being a supporter of the Vita since its release. Buying and playing fantastic games like Persona, Killzone, and Sound Shapes, investing my time and money into the great little system. I am thinking about trading my Vita in towards a 3DS and PlayStation 4 games.
Don't you dare do it.
This is Andy House. He's giving up.
God, you're giving up, Andy House.
I feel a little betrayed by Sony. As much as I'm looking forward to Eastern games like Freedom Wars and Danganronpa 2, I don't feel I can support Sony's, quote, failing console any longer, as my money can go towards a console that will be supported longer than 2 years. After seeing the great job Nintendo did of rescuing the 3DS, do you think Sony are wrong to just give up and admit defeat? A big beyond all of you. Much love, Andrew from England.
Yeah, but they haven't given up and admitted defeat. They've just changed the messaging on Vita like 17 different times.
Yeah, well,
so
that's
like, so,
trouble.
You know, and yeah, so yeah, the Vita's in trouble. And we'll get to some pertinent numbers about Vita in a little while. But, you know, I'm disappointed that they're not doing more. But I understand the business reality of why they're not doing more. But Vita, I think, is going to be around for a while. And I
yes.
think that, and I think that it's doing fine in its niche. But more people need to pick it up. It's around 9 or 10 million sold, which is not good. That is kind of Sega Saturn territory.
Yep.
Or
Saturn was 8 million.
Yeah, Dreamcast territory more like. But does it need more support? Yes. Is it fine as it is? Yeah. Are we going to continue to get new games on it? Yes, we will. And there's a lot of companies, a lot of smaller companies, Xseed and Axis and NIS and Bandai Namco bringing games over still. So like, it really depends. And all the indies that are coming, and a lot of the indies are very quiet right now. I mean, I just wrote a preview for Axiom Verge. That game is going to be bonkers on Vita, man.
Yeah.
Like, that game's going to be awesome. That game's going to come out until 2015. So
sure. That's the same problem you're always talking about, right?
Right.
That's cross-buy.
It is, but it's native to Vita, too.
Yeah.
So it's not just like a thing where you have to sit with your Vita, and then you're on the same network as your PS4, and you're playing games on PS4. Like, I think that Sony's fooling itself if they think that that is the only future for Vita, that it has to have its own support, too. And I'd be strong, you know, I don't think we've seen the last of AAA Western development for it. I really don't.
No, I hope not.
But I think that we have to just have reasonable expectations. I think that the Vita right now is a machine for people that are fans of indie games and Japanese games, and that might never change.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I hope for the same turnaround we saw with the PSP, right, where that trucked along, struggling. Nobody was happy with it for a while there, and then there was that Destination PlayStation event where it was like, we're bringing out a MotorStorm and a Little Big Planet and all these and Assassin's Creed, and they said, you know, we've been going on this road show behind closed doors. John Kohler made a big deal about this. We've been on this road show where we're getting people excited for them, making them understand. You hope for something there, right? Because it seems like we get emails and tweets all the time right now, right, that people can't find Vitas in stores because the Borderlands bundles are sold out, so now what's happening?
That's the frustrating thing, right? Like, people actually want it now, and they can't find it because Sony so severely underestimated the demand for it that people are like how many tens of thousands of people just lost interest in it because they're like, I can't find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they think it's dead. Like, some of these people are like, is it dead?
Yeah.
Is it it?
And well, I'm worried that you talked about the change messaging over and over and over again. Those kinds of mixed messages are what cause platforms to fail. I mean, a lot, not every time, but many times that they failed, it's come from bad marketing. It's come from bad messaging. It's come from mixed signals and confusion. And while I enjoy my Vita and I think that it's got a lot of life left in it, if I want to play a few really good games over the course of the next few years, my Vita is going to be a great place to do it. But I think if you're talking about volume and you have a limited budget, Andrew's sitting here saying, you know, I'm thinking about selling this, grabbing my 3DS and playing 40 games. He's going to have more to play on his 3DS. He's not necessarily going to have a better game, but he's going to have a better selection of games. I think that's probably true at this point.
Here's the problem, Colin, is that a long time ago, someone came into the ever-rotating third chair, and I won't name names, but they came in talking about this game, Suikoden 2, and how it was going to change my life. And there's still no Suikoden 2, Jared Petty.
Yeah, I've let America down.
You've let the world down. We're an international podcast. Andrew in England's crying. He's selling it because he was waiting for Suikoden.
It makes me very sad because, generally speaking, it is not free to have your game rated by the ESRB. It costs money. And
yeah.
Sony went out and spent money to have this rated for the PlayStation 3, and now it's just floating. I'm horrified. It's part of some bottom line that just got trimmed or something. But I really do. I still think with nothing but my soul to tell me this that we'll see it, and we'll see it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you'll see it. Yeah.
But I don't think it's gotten trimmed. PlayStation 3. Pardon me. Still has such strong legs. You know, this
tree trunk of legs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this generation's been, you know, next gen has been kind of coexisting with current gen in a very comfortable way for the last several months. So I think there's plenty out there to justify releasing it.
And you'll be able to play it on Vita.
And that right there justifies.
And if I can't play it on Vita, Jared.
Yeah.
Your ass is grass.
If you can't play it on Vita, you can bring me on the show and spank me, Greg.
Thank you.
All right. It's all right.
Sounds kind of hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exceedingly rare for somebody or a company to ESRB rate something and not actually release it. So I think that there's probably just some semantics that they're clearing up in the background. It's just not time yet. It's just not the time's not right.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
They've always been weird about this game. It has a terrible translation. I think sometimes that's internally caused some trouble. I mean, there was a PSP. A re-release of Suikoden 1 and 2 in a compilation pack, and they would not let him release it in the West because it had no additional features, and they were worried about the translation. It just makes me want to cry.
That's why you retranslate it. Not a difficult thing.
I like how you said it and shook your head and made those eyes.
Those
piercing eyes you make.
So anyway, like in terms of Vita's success or lack of success and all these kinds of things, I think it's going to be fine. I think it's just a matter of like what you're looking for. I'm looking forward to a ton of stuff coming to it. I have Danganronpa 2. I'm very excited to play it. I haven't started playing it yet. Tales of Hearts R, I'm super excited about that. There's like a bunch of indie games. Velocity 2X is going to be awesome on Vita. Axiom Verge, like I said, is going to be awesome on Vita. Mm. I played something like 40 Vita games at E3 for about 3 or 4 minutes each. I was doing it for a piece. Yeah. I just never wrote it.
Don't forget that Minecraft.
Metrico's awesome. Binding of Isaac's coming. Hotline Miami 2 is going to be on it. There's like all this great stuff coming to Vita. So, and then, it's not only coming to Vita, some of these games, but then there are those only coming to Vita games like Freedom Wars. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get God Eater 2 at some point out here. There's Trails of the Skies and East games that are coming out in Japan that I wouldn't be surprised if they got translated. If games like Monster Monpiece are getting translated, then God forbid a world where we don't get some of these great RPGs that are coming. So I just think it's very much, I agree with you, it's very much like the PSP in the sense that it's a Japanese machine, but the PSP at the point of that destination PlayStation was selling much better than the Vita was.
I
mean, Monster Hunter had done its thing in Japan, and that had given us new life over here. And I understand Vita's doing pretty well in Japan, but if a kid comes to me right now and says, hey, I can have my Vita library or I can have the 3DS library, it's getting harder and harder to make that argument when you look ahead 2 years.
I don't disagree, although the 3DS is not a bastion of new releases either.
No, it's
not. But you can play Shovel Knight on it right now.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Number six. Ubisoft has officially shipped 8 million copies of Watch Dogs across all platforms, following up its strong numbers from release when it sold to consumers 4 million copies in 1 week. On the back of Watch Dogs, Ubisoft's first quarter fiscal sales are up a staggering 374% year over year and exceeded Ubisoft's own lofty expectations. 14% of Watch Dogs sales were digital.
Good lord.
Did you like the Watch Dogs, Greg?
No. I liked it fine. I didn't dislike it. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, this is just what it is, and I bailed out and did other things.
Yeah, I played it for a couple hours. I'm like, I've seen enough. Yeah. And you know what? I did the same thing with Grand Theft Auto V, which is bizarre. Mm-hmm. So it was Grand Theft Auto V, especially I've sold on this podcast. I went to Tokyo for Tokyo Game Show. I had it ordered on Amazon. I bought it. It was there when I got back.
You demanded me bring it home for you.
Yeah, and I was so excited. I sat down and played. I'm like, I don't want to play this. Mm-hmm. And then I started playing something on the Vita.
Switch off, and that was kind of that. Never went back to it.
I think about it all the time.
Are you tempted by the prettiness? You think about Grand Theft Auto all the
Yeah,
time?
I do. I think about going to GTA 5 all the time. So like, I beat the hell out of all the other Grand Theft Auto games, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's weird that I like don't even really know what happens in that game. But I'm just like, I just don't care.
It's a great game to fool around in. I'm not a big fan of the story, but there is a lot to just fiddle around with.
I enjoy,
the aspect of the game.
I like Trevor.
You enjoy the story?
I like Trevor Lyon.
Please explain this.
Which part?
I
all of it?
Which part? Yeah, just liking Trevor in any way, shape, or form. That's hard for me to fathom.
I mean, like, it's a cartoon. GTA is a cartoon. It's not a movie. It's not a heist movie. I mean, you know I'm wrong. There's heist elements to it.
Yeah.
So, but, like, Trevor and just how terrible he is and all the goofy stuff he says or does. You're like, oh, yeah, I like him. He's the most likable character of that bunch.
They're all
Franklin's
horrible.
Way too vanilla.
Yeah, well.
He's just, like, there and he's a stereotype. And then Michael is, like, cool. Like, whatever. He's got a crappy family. He just want to kill the whole time, though. Well, Trevor does all the things you want to do.
I feel differently, although I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Franklin agrees vanilla until suddenly, halfway through the game, he turns into a psychotic assassin with no explanation.
Sure.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And Michael's just kind of a horrible person.
You're right.
But Trevor, I actively dislike.
I love Trevor.
I wanted to like Trevor.
Great performance.
I really did,
goofy. But, he's funny.
Oh, no, the performance.
Yeah.
Steve Aug, right?
Yeah, Steve Aug.
He nailed it.
Yeah.
I just hated the part he was playing.
Sure.
But at least he's not Wayne. Wade. Fun with GTA characters.
Number seven. The white PlayStation 4 that was announced as part of the upcoming Destiny bundle available this September will eventually be available on its own, at least in Europe. Sony's Shuhei Yoshida confirmed as much to a French site called Game One, which confirmed that the white PS4 will be available on its own after Destiny's release, but before the end of the year. So if you don't want Destiny, you want that white PlayStation.
You gotta wait.
Probably get it.
I want that frozen PlayStation from Japan.
Which is not white.
No, weird, right? That's what I thought, too. I thought it'd be white with, like, a blue Elsa and what's her name. But no, it's black with gold.
Also doesn't come with frozen.
Yeah, also weird.
Yeah, kind of.
Some weird choices there, but who cares?
That's strange.
Now make a pat up on PS4.
Overrated movie.
Number eight. Now here's where we're going to get into the numbers, by the way.
Finally!
According to an obscure video released by Sony's Japanese arm, a video aimed at peripheral makers, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita have combined for over 100 million sold. Now let's get out our calculators.
All right.
So, first of all, I should note that I talked to Sony about these numbers, and they said that the video doesn't necessarily preclude that they are talking about other hardware. And I asked what they meant by this. Because does that mean PlayStation Vita TV or PSP or PS2? Because the numbers make sense to me with just those three. Here's the numbers I arrived
at. Sure.
In November of 2013, PS3 was at 80 million. So you can assume it's about 82 million now. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair number. PS4 was at 7 million in April. You can assume that that's probably at 8 million now, right? Give or take.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves Vita, which we've never had the numbers for ever, because they fold them into PSP numbers to make it look better in their financials. I assume Vita's around 10 million now. Right, maybe a little less. So maybe it's like 9, 9, and 82.
Nine.
How do you guys feel about those numbers? Assuming that they, you know, and what other hardware could they be talking about? They would not clarify for me. They didn't. They never answered that particular email.
The fact they didn't answer leads you to believe there's something else folded in, or
But I don't know what it could be.
Okay.
Because
where could he be?
It's like, is it like the only thing that realistically makes sense in life to date numbers is PS Vita TV, and if that's the case, then it's another 50,000.
Okay.
100,000. You know, so. PS2, PSP, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. PS1.
PS1, right.
Okay.
So what do you guys think about those numbers? You think that they're accurate?
I want to know if they're folding in. It doesn't make any sense that they're not telling you. That it doesn't preclude other hardware.
Think about this here. Give me this, all right? Let's assume that PS3 never moved and it's at 80, right?
Yeah.
And then we know 7, so that's 87.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So that only leaves 13 million. right?
Yeah.
Now Vita, even at a low end, is at $7 million. So that's like 90. That's like 94 million. So that leaves $6 million. So like, what could this be? Like, and it's not at $7 million. It's got to be at $8 or $9 million.
Okay. Point. Well, don't forget that if you take one of Euclid's postulates a different way, math works differently. So this could be a non-Euclidean equation leading to.
I don't know what that means, though.
Okay. Well, no one. You know,
no one does.
It's what it is. It's that super math. It's the imaginary number I. You know, the square root of -1.
Maybe there's rounding up.
No, they said, actually, they said more than 100 million.
Damn it.
Okay.
Like, so again, it's got to be 82, 8, and 10.
Maybe they're just trolling you, Colin.
That video is just lying to me.
They're making up. They don't care. They're just lying to
Madcast. No. I don't want to accuse them of lying. I don't think they come out with that number for some of their partners if there weren't some credence to it.
I was thinking, is it MOVE? Yeah. No. Can't be MOVE.
Why can't it?
Because MOVE was like 10 or 12 million. Mm-hmm. So that throws the entire equation off, even if the numbers are the same.
Well, that'd be more than, like you said, right?
Yeah.
Could it be the camera? Was there an asterisk with projected sales to date or something?
No, it had if you watch the video, there's a story on IGN. If you watch the video, just embedded, it has like a odometer or whatever, right? Okay. Like where it's just like rolling up and it goes past a million. Like more than 100 million units of PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita have been sold around the world or whatever. And it's like, all right.
Okay, I'm calling.
Then you toss the camera in.
Euclid's fourth postulate, non-Euclidean geometry, Tesseract's fifth dimension. That's what I'm calling.
All
right.
That's just a series of words that are in any order that you could have put them in, and I don't know if they're real or not.
That's because it's bull.
Okay.
Fair enough. I'm just lying.
Number nine.
Right. Number nine.
Sony has renewed the trademark for the long-dormant PlayStation 3 exclusive teen horror game Until Dawn. A game we first saw in person at New York Comic Con in 2012. I thought I was really impressive when I saw it there. We've been given confirmation multiple times since then that the game is still in development, and we may see it at Gamescom in August.
Oh. All right. There we go. A PlayStation Move game.
It's a PlayStation 4 game probably now, and you have to assume that Supermassive's still working on it, the British studio that's been working on it for a while, and I think the idea behind it is really great. So I'm excited to see what they've done with it.
Bring everyone up to speed. It's like a campy teen horror movie, right?
That's the idea, that you play. So it's like, yeah, well, exactly.
Big fan of the teen horror. I mean, that's the good stuff.
Right? Sure.
Did you guys seen Plus One?
No.
Oh, check that out. That's odd. It's kind of like a Twilight Zone episode meets slasher movie. Really good.
Nice.
Yeah. Plus One.
Plus One, everybody.
Yeah, it's not the greatest movie ever, but it's neat.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
It's neat. Hey, by the way, I have a problem with Netflix.
Lay it on us.
The Discovery on Netflix sucks. Yes. I feel like they never put anything new on there, but they do, but you just can never find it.
You go to New Arrivals.
It's garbage. The New Arrivals, like, nothing changes. Like, it's the same movies. And people are like, did you see this was on Netflix? I'm like, no. What the hell are you talking about? Is there a website or something that has, like, or like that you
could. Every month, you go to Google on about the 30th or so, and Huffington Post and a couple other sites run lists of all the new stuff that's coming on the Netflix by series and by movie and everything that's being pulled off. And I do this every month. And I'll have that exact
start inviting dates. Colin over when you do it.
Yeah. Well, Colin, you're always invited over. You too, Greg, by the way.
Thank you.
We'll just go specifically to look at the Netflix
website. We'll walk to your desk. We'll look at it and then walk away.
You know, it would be cool if we had that information on IGN.com.
It would be cool if we had that information on Netflix. Jesus. It's like the same five movies on there.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix has a lot of problems.
You want to watch House?
I miss video stores.
Ice Road Truckers?
I miss the ability, but I do discover that now I watch movies more like I used to watch television, where I'm stuck back, you know, and I'm talking pre-DVR television. I'm sitting there like, well, wait, this is all that's on. There's all these things I want to see. If I was a freaking video store, I could actually go down and find the movie I want.
Right.
I rent a lot of stuff off Amazon, and that helps.
Yeah. I use Vudu, too. That's the same thing. You can see their new release wall.
You know, and that helps some. But still, like, sometimes I'd be like, I want to watch an old movie. Oh, it's not there. I demand convenience. This is the age of convenience.
Come on, Netflix. You
know? Amazon Prime be stepping its game up, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dude.
The HBO collection? Yep. Tell you what.
Yep. Amazon Prime, all right.
Number 10. Some cleanup.
Here we go.
Skullgirls Encore, the PlayStation 3 fighting game, is officially coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. Samurai Warriors 4 is coming to PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation Vita, and will launch on October 24th. Shadow Warrior, released on PC last year, is officially coming to PlayStation 4 as well as Xbox One at an undetermined time. Rogue Legacy finally has a release date on PS4, PS3, and Vita, and will launch on July 29th. I can't wait for that game. And Don't Starve's first expansion, Reign of Giants, is coming to PlayStation 4 on July 22nd in North America and July 23rd in Europe.
When's the Vita version of Don't Starve coming out, that complete edition?
I don't know.
I want some of that. That'd be good, because you have to. Not as good as Minecraft, wherever the hell that is. All right, so by my count, you missed two stories.
Okay.
The first one is the Andy House one that I thought you'd have.
Which one is that? I told everyone that I'm not talking about Andy House anymore on this one.
Too bad.
There's too many stories.
Taib has something to say about that. He wrote into beyond@ign.com just like you can. He says, "Hey guys, I'm Taib." And he spelled it out for me, which is really helpful because he admits that's a difficult name for me to understand. From Metro Atlanta area here in Georgia. My question is, despite with recent news with the whole, quote, Naughty Dog denied the use crash in fan art contest, end quote, and the Andy House quote, let's pretend.
Right, I didn't forget about this.
Yeah, in the perfect world that Sony bought Crash and Spyro. So it brings us up to speed. In an interview, probably from the same set of interviews with Andy House, Andy was like, yeah, you know, we've looked into doing Crash and Spyro again, but so far, nothing.
Right.
But we're not ready to give up the ghost on it.
Right.
And that was the first time in forever they've done anything, said anything publicly official about it, other than their stupid PlayStation commercial that if you blew up one section of the screen, you saw them.
That was weird, though, wasn't it? That whole commercial thing was weird. Like, that was, to me, that was something.
Right.
You know, like, I would have never picked that out.
Yeah.
But that didn't look, it was like, the Sony Computer Entertainment, like, logo with an arrow pointing up to a silhouette of Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Or something might have been down to him.
But that could have just been the power of two commercials in one. I mean, sometimes this viral stuff is in there to let us know something's coming. Sometimes it's so you can release something and then get double exposure by somebody spotting it. Oh, like, suddenly, you know.
But it was so weird because everything else was a game that was coming out. You could easily link it back to something that was, like, a current, fleshed out property. Whereas Crash wasn't.
There's still a major problem with this, though. Yeah. Sony doesn't own that name.
Yes.
You know, like,
Activision still has ties into all these things.
Yeah, like, Sony doesn't own Spyro, or they don't own Crash either, so.
And that's the thing. I think they can get Crash. The thing about Spyro, though, is he's attached to Skylanders. Mm-hmm. They're never giving up. No, Spyro's not getting given up.
No, I think, I don't know what he means by revisiting Spyro, because Spyro's actually relevant again. But... And, you know, Toys for Bob or whatever that studio is called is doing a nice job with those and making lots of money for Activision. Crash, I don't know why Activision insists on sitting on them. They did clarify, I think, last year that they still own that IP because maybe people were thinking that there were some behind-closed-doors things that were going on with those two companies.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is that Sony started putting their feelers out for Crash Bandicoot after PlayStation All-Stars because people were so mad that Crash Bandicoot wasn't in here. And they obviously tried. I mean, they basically just said it, you know, like, without saying. Like we wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, like, we tried to get everyone. Like, so obviously Activision's holding on to it. I wouldn't be surprised to see a new Crash Bandicoot game. I don't think it's going to come from first party. I think it would be smarter for Activision to release it as a multi-platform game and have someone develop it themselves.
Well, here, Taib's question, after talking about the news you missed, because you're tired in the middle of the day. He said, what Sony first party studio do you think should work on them? This is in a perfect world where Sony bought back Crash and Spyro. You can also pick a second party studio Sony worked with as well. Personally, I think it'd be cool if Mark Cerny and Gavin Moore were in charge to make Spyro in Studio Japan while Sanzaru makes Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, Sanzaru would be logical.
Yeah, because they did such a great job with Sly.
Yeah, I don't think any of the first-party studios are capable, but that's a waste of all of their talent to work on a game like a platformer.
Well, this is a perfect world, though, where there are no penalties for this, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, this is just...
But Colin's perfect world is Sony Ben's making a Siphon Filter. They're too busy.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, like, who's got the... Who right now has the construction at one of the first-party studios to make this? Studio Japan really is the only one.
Wasn't Puppeteer Studio Japan?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, there we go. Have them make Spyro.
Yeah, and they made Knack. So, yeah. I mean, it's the same... It's
okay,
the same...
No. Let us... No, it is not the same. The Puppeteer and Knack should not be spoken of in the same sentence.
Damn. Well, no, I love Puppeteer.
The Reverend preaching.
Yeah. Kyle Moriarty was one of the great evangelical voices for Puppeteer, as the internet might remember.
Okay, yeah, Puppeteer's
good. But I'm just saying, like, that those teams, there was some crossover between those teams, and...
That's hard to believe.
that there's, I think, there's a lot of weird stuff going on at Studio Japan. I went there, and it was a very fascinating place. Huge building. Lots of people. So I think that they're that same studio is like one in the same in terms of their pedigree to make a platform.
Yeah.
Now I didn't like Knack very much, but you know, Knack, you can take what you learn from Knack, take what you learn from a side scrolling platform like Puppeteer and work out with something. But again, that's a waste of Studio Japan's time.
I'd rather a Spyro as a side scroller, but I think that'd be amazing. Little dragon side scroller. That sounds wonderful to me. That would probably make everyone.
He got like a double jump with the wings. That
no, they would do some cool stuff. They burn stuff. Yeah, but you could get more creative than that.
I would say
Puppeteer had the head switching thing. You could work out all kinds of switch power dynamics.
Sure.
There's a lot of different. I like dragons.
Give Crash to, and this is again, this somebody. I'm not even. You've worked with them before, is what I'm saying on this one. Give Crash to our favorite guys from Guacamelee, Xbox Studios.
That'd be cool.
Not first party. Not really second party. They were pub fun for a while there, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, they're doing their own thing.
They'd be awesome. They seem like a good fit for that.
They're on the verge of blowing up.
I think they already blew up. I thought Guacamelee was their coming out party.
Yeah, I mean, they're working on new things now, but well, sure. I'm talking with them on Thursday, and we'll have more with them on Friday.
Greg, I like that, though. That's a really good choice. That's kind of wonderful.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it? That's all
things? That's all we got for them? All right, and then the other thing you missed is from Sean. He says, it's for Sean. He says, congratulations on 7 years at IGN, Colin!
Oh, yay! Thank you. That's tomorrow. But
well, it's late in the day. I'm counting it. We won't be doing a Beyond on your actual anniversary.
No.
So I thought it'd be
thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, that's really rad.
Congrats. It's been a thank long you. 7 years, Colin.
It has been.
How has it been for you, Greg?
Seven and a half then or whatever. I got a few months on Colin.
Okay.
Cool, that's it.
Thank you, yes, I appreciate it.
Suikoden 2 sounds awesome, Jared.
Suikoden 2 is a pretty fantastic game.
But you refuse to release it or put it on Vita
for
some
reason. I'm holding it hostage. Internet, come to my Indiegogo. If I can raise $100,000, Suikoden 2 will be released by Sony.
Well, that sounds great, but that's not now. Jared, if I want to know what was in stores right now, where would I go?
To the store. But if you didn't get to the store and find it, you probably go to the Andrew Goldfarb memorial list of all that crap that comes after that.
Yeah, the upcoming.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, it's good enough.
This is a dismal week. But actually, there's some interesting stuff coming out if you delve in. Okay?
Yeah.
PlayStation 4 only game is Crimson Land, which is a top-down zombie-type shooter I've been playing.
And you like it so far?
It's good. It comes to PS3 and Vita later, I think.
Okay.
Apparently an older PC game. Never played it on PC.
Who did it?
10 Tons. It's cool. I'll have a review on it later this week. It's a good game. On PS3, Abyss Odyssey is available digitally. This is from Ace, which I think is the South American team that did... What was that game with the rolling rocks? You know what I'm talking about? Where you like roll the rocks down the tracks? It was on PSN. It was on PS3. Atlas released it.
No, I haven't played this. Game with the rolling rocks.
Yeah, like where like you take
control. Is it a puzzle game or is it?
Yeah, somewhat, but it's like you roll rocks.
Where you moved them like, to like, you moved them like square to square and then like the squares would move and you'd roll it somewhere else.
There are great games with rolling rocks. There's that Super Nintendo Indiana Jones game with the big mode 7.
Yeah, we know it isn't that one, Jared.
No, but it's still a great game with the big rolling
rocks. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, Rock of Ages.
Oh, there we go.
That's what it was. That's what it was called.
A great movie too.
I think that is the same studio. But
great
I could
Justice
be wrong.
League.
Anyway, on Vita, One Piece Unlimited World Red comes out digitally. It's already available on PS3. But if you want on Vita, you can get it now. And that is literally
that's it.
That's it.
Wow. That is one cathartic toss right there.
Dang. That's a lethargic, tired Colin Moriarty.
I was saying cathartic. You said lethargic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, look at him. He's moving at sloth-like speed.
Oh, I'm tired, man.
Gosh,
I can't. I don't have any energy.
Drink some coffee.
No, can't do it.
At what point in the day is it just over?
Like two.
Yeah, and you're just cashed out, and then you're.
I'm not cashed out. Just like I say,
you can't turn it on like this.
Yeah,
for a
like
podcast.
I do so much work in the morning. Yeah. Like I'm just like a machine answering emails and like taking care of things, and then I try to save the afternoon because I'm more tired and kind of worn out. Where I just like I try to play my games or, you know, whatever, do that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know.
Whatever, man.
Poor guy.
You know, just tired.
I really think you might need that methamphetamine in your life.
I know.
Yeah, that's
what I'm trying to say. I kicked it when I was 14 years old, as I explained. At the 29 years old, I mean, who couldn't use a little meth?
Well, yeah, by the way, great Old Crow Medicine Show song, Methamphetamine. Totally awesome. Yeah, you're the Old Crow Medicine Show?
No, sorry.
Oh, you got the really good. Really
I know
good.
The vegetable okra.
Tennessee Pusher, really good album. Tell It to Me, really. These guys are great. They're kind of like a punk rock bluegrass band.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. Actually, sounds like a good mix.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to listener mail. Remember, be part of the show, beyond@ign.com, just like Rock did. Rock, not The Rock, but Rock.
Rock.
From Manchester, New Hampshire, writes in.
Oh,
says,
Manchester, New Hampshire. I used to play there.
Yeah?
Play hockey there.
Did you kick his ass, you think?
The Manchester Flames were their team, I remember, yeah.
Suck
yeah.
it, Flames.
Used to be them, yeah.
Greg Cullen in the ever-rotating third chair. Now, hard stop here, Cullen. Mm. Rock has stumbled onto something that blew my mind.
Uh-oh.
Look at how he spelled ever-rotating third chair. He spelled it Eric, but with a 3 instead of an I. Mm. That's brilliant. ER3C, Eric, ever-rotating third chair.
Ooh, man.
Rock, you get a gold star.
You need to invite Sapp in here now. He could be the new head of Eric.
No, we're not
going to
do that.
Chair.
Eric Sapp's got no... If I want to learn how to grow a beard and make dog photoshops
that's just uncalled for. I walk over there the other day. I'm like, what's up, Eric? He's like, I'm Rick today. was like, what?
This guy's a psychopath, and we have him working here.
Fantastic.
Rock writes in and says, I'm 47 years old and have been a mostly casual gamer since my youth. I've never gotten into RPGs, but I purchased Child of Light on my PS4 based on a friend's recommendation and Vince's review. It took me a bit to shift from Resogun survival mode to Child of Light, but I'm glad I did. The storytelling, level advancement, crafting, art, music, and especially the turn-based combat has made this one of my favorite games in recent memory. So, bearing in mind that I'm pretty new to this genre, can you recommend any similar RPGs for the PS4 or Vita for this that this older gamer may enjoy? Thank you, and beyond.
So, as far as I know, and I could be wrong, Child of Light might actually be the only RPG on PlayStation 4 right now, like literal turn-based role-playing game.
I haven't played one. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, think about it.
I'm
like,
thinking.
What?
I'm going.
I can't think of anything. Yeah. This is exhilarating airtime.
Yeah, they like this. But, well, they're either listening with bated breath,
or they're, screaming
at their steering wheel. Yeah, they might be screaming.
But now Vita is. Vita, on the other hand, is a fertile playground for role-playing games.
Yeah,
it is the place to go.
I mean, the thing, you know, we've beaten the drum for years now. Persona 4 Golden, that's immediately where I start you with a JRPG turn-based game with a great story and everything else. Characters you love, great colors.
Yep.
But there's so many more.
Characters you love, great colors.
Great colors.
Gotta love those colors.
Bullet points.
Yeah, it's funny. I haven't thought about it, but Child of Light is a good starting point for people that haven't played RPGs, because even though it's actually somewhat of a deep game, it's not oppressively hard. It has a really engaging battle system in terms of like interrupting people's attacks and stuff, which is actually kind of unique. And the leveling is so comically off. Like, it happens so comically off.
It's really fast.
Like, that, like, it makes you feel like you're really advancing. Because in real life, I hate to tell you, what's this gentleman's name?
This is Rock.
Rock from Manchester.
Manchester's Rock.
RPGs make you work for it. And Child of Light really doesn't. So, I would recommend a number of Vita games, even PSP games that you can play on Vita.
Yeah.
East is a good one to try out, Memories of Celcida. Final Fantasy X's on there if you're into that. I'm not really super into that game.
Speaking of the Final Fantasies, if you want to give it a shot, then you go to the PSP library and grab Final Fantasy Tactics or Tactics Ogre. Let us cling together. Such a dumb name for such a spectacular video game.
I really actually like that name a lot.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Can we cling together?
Yeah, we could. I mean, that's what I'm asking you, if we can cling. Let us cling together, sir.
Sorry, my water bottle got in the way.
Those are great. Yeah, so War of the Lions and Let Us Cling Together are two great recommendations. I'd actually go and play. If you've never played those games, quit your job or school.
Yeah.
Charge your PlayStation Vita and just throw it all on the line, Greg, because Final Fantasy Tactics is one of the best games of all time, and Tactics Ogre is not far behind it.
And I'm actually, while this may sound blasphemous, going to slightly reverse that. Final Fantasy Tactics is also one of the best games of all time, and Tactics Ogre is slightly above it.
Both great.
But I had a friend that you mentioned lose your job. I had a friend in college lost his job to Final Fantasy Tactics. He just stopped going to work. Yes, he just stopped going to work.
So where did he work?
He worked in the cafeteria at the college. But he lost
job
his job.
Job sucked anyway.
Yep.
Funny note about Tactics Ogre: Let Us Cling Together. The final game I played on my PSP.
Oh, nice!
That was the last game I ever played.
That was a good way to send it off.
My PSP was like all screwed up at that point. Like half the screen was like all color warped because I like bent it at some point. And I remember playing it at GDC. So this is when 2011. It probably came out. It was like really late PSP game.
I may have been 10.
10.
I think it was 10.
Yeah. So that was it.
Yeah.
And I just adored that game.
It
was so good. It's such a good game. And it was the last game like that that we've gotten, really, like that. I know some people like Fire Emblem and stuff like that. I played Fire Emblem on 3DS. Not crazy about it. It's different, you know? And the graphics are just, like, I'm not a graphics guy, but just awful.
Fire Emblem is a different kind of tactical game.
Right, exactly.
Fire Emblem is almost a Battlefield game. It's almost Advance Wars. Not quite.
Whereupon
Tactics Ogre is a tactical role-playing game.
Right.
It's a different kind of game.
Right, and I like that. Yeah, it's a little more free and open.
Yeah.
I liked Fire Emblem fine, but it didn't grab me. Like when I start playing Final Fantasy Tactics, which I play every few years, or Tactics Ogre, which I am sure I will go back to at some point, I can't stop. playing those games. Like, I'm addicted to time, yeah. Just hours. Just
And Tactics Ogre lets you go back and do it again and again and again without – it takes all the annoying parts out. Want to see all the endings? Just back up to the last node. Don't replay any content and get to play all the stuff you missed. And it lets you do that over and over and over again. So if you're completionist, you can see every ending without repeating a single battle. It's great. It's a wonderful bit of design.
So there you go, Rock.
Here's the one thing I want to toss out on Rock's question about this year. Now, he says PS4 or Vita. I'm still holding out hope that South Park will come to Vita. Or, I'm sorry, to PS4.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Vita could run it.
No, I agree, because the PS3 can barely run it. But I'm talking about, a Superfied HD version. I think that'd be a great fit.
I'd play it again.
I love that game. I'd totally play South Park again. I had such a great time with that game.
It was my favorite game of the year.
Until
Shovel Knight came out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my
awesome.
Second favorite game of the year. I think my five favorite games of the year...
Ooh.
Are now that I played Valiant Hearts, in order it would go Shovel Knight, South Park, Child of Light, Danganronpa, and then Valiant Hearts.
Nice.
Would probably be my top.
Nice.
That's pretty rad.
I still have South Park up front. Behind it, I probably have Valiant Hearts. Here's the weird thing, and I know I need to give this a better chance. I didn't like Child of Light. I started playing it on Vita, but I started playing it on Vita on a trip. So I was on the plane and immediately started getting sleepy. And I don't know how much I can blame the game for that it put me asleep. But it's my traditional problem with RPGs, right? Like, I don't like that world. I don't like fairy tales. I'm not interested in the characters. So I'm already just like.
Can we just fucking go?
Let's just do stuff.
Oh, dude, the dialogue's awesome.
Well, the dialogue is awesome, but it's a fairy tale. If you don't like fairy tales, you are screwed.
Same thing happened with Wolf Among Us. I was like, all right, I didn't like the comics Fable, but I'm gonna like this game. I'm gonna try it again. Episode one, I'm like checking the watch. I'm like, how long is this? Episode two, I'm like forcing myself through. Episode three came out, installed it, went to play, and I'm like, no, I don't enjoy this game, and I've never gone back. Just haven't.
That's too bad. We all like different things, so it's actually pretty cool. But you're kind of doomed. I feel like on Child of Light, if you don't like fairy tales, a game that's deliberate in iambic pentameter, you are just probably SOL.
You're really missing out, dude. I think that game is brilliantly written. Some people are like, what is going on in this game? And like, well, I can't. I'm like, dude, this is awesome. Like, there's nothing like this.
A game that pays attention to how the prose is laid out? Yeah, that's beautiful. It's wonderful. They had a writer on staff. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool. That is what makes that, the combat's awesome and stuff, but that's actually what makes that game special.
The narration.
Yeah, it's the narration.
And the fact that, the writing and the narration are woven together the way they are, and the dialogue. It was so well done.
So you might as well just uninstall it.
Yeah, probably not going to ever get back into it. Ethan writes in. To be honest, at IGN.com and says, I've been contemplating getting Valiant Hearts. Seems like a great game for me. However, I'd rather play it on the Vita than on the PS4. Do you think it will come to Vita? And if it does, will it be cross-buy?
I think it will come to Vita if Child of Light sells well on Vita.
Okay.
So probably not. I think that Ubisoft's shown a great propensity in the past to release their games on Vita.
Yeah.
They did that with both Rayman games, and the Rayman games did pretty well there. But I... was confused why Child of Light wasn't day and date, and maybe they got on board late with that or whatever.
Yeah.
My assumption is that Valiant Hearts will come if Child of Light does well, and I think it would do really or work really nicely with the touchscreen, especially.
I think it will come. I'm holding on hope that it does. I mean, granted, it's one of my favorite games so far this year, but I want to play it there. I'd love to keep going on that, and I don't think it's like taxing it too much. I think it's an easy enough port. I don't think it would be cross-buy. Child of Light wasn't crossed by,
no.
So why would this one be crossed by?
I've been stuck playing something for work, but that's the next one on my queue. I cannot wait to play Valiant Hearts.
It's good. It's that music, man.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's right in the feels. I love the feels. Too.
I wrote. You can read the editorial I wrote today on Valiant Hearts on IGN if you'd like. But I just like how everyone likes their fake history in games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Assassin's Creed. That's fine. But Valiant Hearts is real. It's inspired by real events and real battles, and it's not like a different kind of take on it. Obviously, no one's sending a dog into chlorine gas to get an item that you need to figure out.
Get
puzzle.
A,
obviously,
a
that's
wrench.
Not happening, but
right.
it pays such a beautiful and astute attention to its subject matter, and never seems oppressive, but always puts you into the role of your character and makes you feel like you're in early 20th century Europe. And I really, really, really like it.
Yeah.
Is it set at Verdun?
It's set in multiple places.
Okay, then
I won't spoil it for you.
All right, cool.
It travels the whole 4-year duration of the war through different characters.
Gosh.
So what I wrote about was that I liked how I compared it to Oregon Trail in the sense that, like, this was a game that was fun, that we played in Apple II Labs when we were kids or whatever, and it taught you a little bit about history, but it didn't seem like you were learning anything about history, but you kind of were. Like,
oh, you learned a ton. And economics.
Yeah, exactly. Like, would you be the banker and the farm? Yeah. Like,
and how to hunt.
Like, it was a bunch of stuff in that game that was embedded in that game that you didn't realize, like, made you understand that journey westward, right? And I kind of feel like Valiant Hearts is the same way. It doesn't feel oppressive, but it makes you learn about something that a lot of people don't learn about, which is the Great War. Like, I said in my piece, it's not a glamorous war.
It's the war that destroyed glamour.
Right, exactly. It was the first truly industrial war, horrifying death count, a front line that barely moved, like, people just dying for no reason. The first use of, like, you know, technically weapons of mass destruction with gas.
Yeah.
Like, there's all of these things in this war, and it also is a war that we as Americans got into very late and probably had no business getting into at all, and didn't really do anything in, even though people died, and we appreciate that, and we respect that. The war was kind of already going down that trajectory anyway, but there's so much fascinating stuff within the war and why it happened, and the fact that it obviously directly led to the rise of the Nazis and World War II. That, like,
it shaped the last 100 years.
Really, exactly. Did. Treaty of Versailles, the Weimar Republic leads to Nazi Germany and all these kinds of things. So there's a reason to learn about World War One, but it's also just an interesting battle that war that a lot of people don't talk about because you can't play it as a shooter.
It was the death of optimism. It was the end of the serious socialist movement across most of the world. It was the place where our poets went from people who talked about what was possible to people who talked about what wasn't possible. It changed us as a species. And I think that anything that's going to tie us into that, I'm sitting here like, why am I not playing this right now? I need to run out the door and do this.
You're gonna like it. And after I beat it, I went and downloaded a book. It's called, like, The Long Road to War or something like that. It just came out, like, last year. It's like 600 or 700 pages. It's pretty dense, but it's good. And it's about Europe for the 15 years before the war, and, like, how, like you were saying, everything changes. And yeah, optimism goes to pessimism and all those kinds of stuff. And you feel that in the game from the very beginning. Because you're right, like, everything was very – there was a lot of idealism in Europe in the early 20th century that wholly disappeared, and Europe just fought itself for 40 years after that. So
they delayed the war was effectively delayed by a multinational socialist gathering the year before that managed to stave it off for a few months because they just believed that if we all tried hard enough, or a number of people believed, that we might actually be able to make the world a better place. And that idea has at a nationalist level, largely been crushed since then. That war just – threw that horrible reality into our face. Read the trench poets, guys. If you're listening, there's a lesson to be learned.
And a good place to start, of course, is All Quiet on the Western Front. If you've never read anything,
yeah, it's not a bad book. Yeah, and
I love that book.
Yeah, read also Regeneration. That's another one. Have you ever read that?
No.
That's an interesting one. Read that.
Liam writes into beyond@ign.com to lift the spirit of the show. He says, Beyond, hey guys.
Hey.
Love the show. And thought I would give you some quick fire questions. Greg, a Superman game from Telltale or the perfect Spider-Man game from Ubisoft?
Okay, where did the Superman from Telltale thing come from? Because I have been dreaming about that.
People have said that for a while. Superman's too Candyman game. Blah, blah, blah. Well, there you go. Just take away all combat and fighting. You're fine.
Yeah, that's his thing. Okay, that's okay.
Superman game. Spider-Man, come on. He's had a lot of great games. Let's give Superman one that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Colin.
Yes.
Telltale, political thriller of House of Cards or West Wing?
I think West Wing would be more fun. It's a better show.
Yeah.
Neither, though, preferably.
What?
I want Telltale to do its own thing. I don't want them to, like...
But they do such a good job with these licenses.
I know, but make something unique.
What if CJ Craig did the Jackal in the game?
Oh my God, that's such a weird episode. How do you know that?
What do you? That's
such an obscure episode.
To create that polarity, as conservative as you are often labeled as being, I'm probably that liberal, and so the West Wing is like porn for liberals. You watch it and you just feel so good.
I love that show.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. It's a brilliant show.
The Jackal
show.
Is such a
That is a bizarre episode of the West Wing. I agree. That whole thing is strange, but yeah.
Rotating third chair.
Yeah.
Cloud saves or a 4 terabyte hard drive on a PS4?
4 terabyte hard drive. Recently, I watched Independence Day again with my wife, which made me understand that the cloud is how the aliens were defeated.
Yeah.
The cloud is a huge vulnerability. We should do nothing in the cloud. It's a terrible idea. Oh, think about it. Remember the mothership beams everything down, so Jeff Goldblum's able to reverse it. He puts it in the little pod, which beams it up to the mothership, which disables all the alien attackers. It's effectively a cloud computing hack. Like, they do a DOS attack and destroy the aliens.
They
with
are
a Mac.
Anonymous.
Yeah,
With a Mac. With totally incompatible hardware.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, Jeff Goldblum was a genius in that movie.
Not only does he manage to hack their network, but he also manages to make the little skull on the screen go,
so brilliant. What a movie.
One day, Greg and I will go into my theory about how Jeff Goldblum is the same character in Jurassic Park and Independence Day. It's the same person.
I agree with you, actually. He is the same character.
It's the same universe, and he's the only connection from the dinosaurs.
Dr.
There was
Ian
a line
Malcolm,
about that or something. There's like an outtake. He made a joke about dinosaurs.
What is the name of his character? You know what? You're never mind.
I don't remember.
I know this.
In what? Which movie?
Independence Day. Because he's Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park. But in Independence Day, he's not Steve. Steve is Will Smith. I just do not remember. But the fat lady sang, and he flew in the air with Harry Connick Jr. And
right. Yeah. Greg, best alcoholic beverage to have with chicken wings, beer. Colin, Al Jazeera, American app, or PlayStation on PlayStation consoles, yay or nay?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what people want, that's fine with me.
Okay, well, that was good. Jared.
Yeah.
You get the honor of picking the last question.
I get
your topics include, I'm just reading the topics.
Okay, all right.
Borderlands Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Open world games.
Uh-huh.
Knob switched.
Uh-huh.
Knob switch. Movie-based games.
Uh-huh.
Live streaming on the PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Online play.
Okay.
A career in games journalism.
Uh-huh.
A brand new IP.
You know, I'm going to go with a brand new IP.
Okay, great. This comes from Ryan Delaney. Or Denley. Ryan Denley, that's better.
What's up,
Beyond.
Ryan?
Beyond.
Beyond.
Greg, Colin, and the ever-rotating third chair. If you were tasked with creating a brand new IP and were given the keys to one of Sony's first-party studios, A, which studio would you pick? B, what kind of game would you make?
Ooh.
In this scenario, there are no executives to answer to, and you don't have to be concerned with how well it will sell. You can make whatever you want. Thanks to Beyond. Ryan Denley.
Okay, I've got an answer to this one.
Go.
For purely selfish reasons, I'm going to pick Studio Japan because I love Japan and would love to live there again. Also, they've made The Puppeteer, which I love and think is beautiful.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be the best suited for this project, except on the visual side, but who cares? They're going to make a Toontown game for me. I want an open-world Grand Theft Auto-style game based on Toontown from Roger Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be inhabited with Warner Brothers and Disney characters, other cartoon anime stuff, since money's no object and this is a fantasy universe. You're going to be able to throw portable holes up against walls and investigate the insides of buildings, do some Eddie Valiant stuff all over the place.
Sure. Because,
yeah, that's I want Toontown, the open world game.
Okay.
And a beautiful cartoon art style, goofy, because I love open world games, but unfortunately, because of what's safe and what sells, we generally go with what's familiar. Well, here's a realistic city. Well, here's a Skyrim-ish universe. Well, here's a post-apocalyptic wasteland. And beyond those three things, we don't break out of that very often. It's risky to build a whole new world and spend all that money and then wonder if people are actually going to wander around in it. So studios stick with what's safe. But I want to go someplace fantastic. I want to go someplace I haven't been before. That's why I look forward to No Man's Sky. But that's a whole other discussion.
Nice.
First of all, I'm already intrigued by the fact that Guerrilla is apparently working on an open world RPG.
Yes.
With that said, which is totally weird and awesome. With that said, I have to go towards where the most talent is concentrated in studio, mm-hmm. in the first part of the studio. It's Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
And think about what they did with The Last of Us, which was basically a zombie post-apocalyptic game. So not an uncommon thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it into something special and unique. It's game of the year. It's arguably the best game in generations. One of the best games of all time. I would like to see them do a military shooter, first-person shooter. And I want to see what they do with it. Like, so do a Call of Duty. And like, what could they do to that game? So from a first-person perspective, they don't make first-person games.
Yeah.
And what kind of story do you have? What kind of character development do you have? What kind of story can you tell and plot can you tell?
Oh, send
it would be amazing.
Like, send a kid through Tet in 68. That'd be nuts. So the story you could tell there. I think about this. My dad was a Vietnam veteran. I think about the stories I finally managed to drag out of him after years and years of knowing him. You could tell an amazing story with good writing.
He was at Tet.
Shooter.
Huh? He was at Tet?
My dad arrived at, you know what? That's a long story. Yeah. He was there in 68, 69.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bad time to be there.
Yeah.
So that's what I would want to see is just a studio that talented with storytelling.
Sure.
Take one of the great tropes of the industry, which is a military shooter, and just deliver, because I know they would.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand on that.
I flirted with Naughty Dog, but I came down on Sucker Punch, and I'd like to see them do a Superman game with heavy involvement, obviously, from DC. You know, Sucker Punch gets making a superhero game, an open-world superhero game. I'd like to see them work alongside Bruce Timm, tell a Superman story, something along those lines.
That's great.
Get Jeff Johns in there. Bruce Timm, Jeff Johns working on it.
Greg, would you be in favor of like a Golden Age Superman story where he's less powerful, has that power
set? See, this is what I always go back to, the fact that I think you can do a Superman game. Like, the problem is I always talk about this, right, that as much as I love Christopher Reeve movies, mm-hmm. the Superman series, it broke everyone's understanding of Superman.
Because suddenly he became a god. Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
Superman!
Like, you know, the animated series version of
that's
Superman.
That's Superman 2, actually.
Mention it, Scarpino yells it out. Yeah. You know, I thought the animated series version of Superman walked in nice line, right, of like mm-hmm. he could be worn down with like traditional weapons.
Sure.
Theoretically he could get really screwed up by that stuff, you know what I mean, but he moves fast enough, he gets around.
Well, he's so. Post-crisis Superman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. Exactly. Yeah. And the people don't understand that, and I think that's the problem you get hung up on. And I have, of course, written the Superman story for the game in my head.
Okay.
I have two different games I've put together.
Without contradicting you, my question actually wasn't aimed at the power level problem in total,
sure.
Just that setting. Do you care about that at all?
No, okay. I don't. I would all say right. Not to, because it's already one of those things where if we, like, you know, like Batman, right? Yeah. Batman's been so successful now that I was really hoping that Rocksteady's next Batman game, when we didn't know what they were doing, was going to be Batman Beyond.
Okay.
Because I thought they had set the stage enough where they're like, they can do that now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we need to get a couple good Superman games under our belt that make sense with the character people currently know before we start branching out and telling Silver Age,
stories.
Golden Age, something like that.
Yeah. I love Golden Age Superman. He's almost like this, like, evil god. You know, he doesn't really understand
jumping
people
over
a lot
buildings,
of the time.
Beating the hell out of wife beaters.
And like the plots of the stories are something like, Lois and Lana, which of you love me more? It's just like, what?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Podcast Beyond, episode 351. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, Podcast Beyond posts as an MP3 on your podcast service of choice alongside IGN.com every Tuesday. Sorry we're late this week. It's still Tuesday. It's just late in the day.
It's late in the day. Colin's worn down.
Every Wednesday we go up as a video on IGN.com, YouTube.com/IGN, and the IGN PlayStation 4 app, which costs you nothing except the cost of everything we listed earlier in the show.
Electricity,
the internet,
time,
emotional connections, relationships.
All of those things.
Yep.
Remember to send your questions to beyond@IGN.com. Remember to go to IGN.com because that's what keeps the mics on. Read the articles, watch the video, sign up for Prime, buy a shirt at splitreason.com/IGN. Then follow everyone on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Jared Petty is Petty, Jared.
That's me.
Every Podcast Beyond ends in a segment we call Ryan's Wrap-Up. It's where you send us a song you wrote, and I'm making an exception here, but start sending songs you wrote. I'm sick of these gosh darn emails that are all like, my friends have a band, and I'd really like to. This is the final one I'll ever do of that. We will sign off abruptly.
This is an ultimatum?
This is an ultimatum. I'm sick of these people half-assing it with like, I was laying in a ditch, and this car rolled by, and I heard this song, and I liked it a lot. This is Patrick. Patrick says, Dear Greg, Colin, and the ever-rotating third chair, Beyond.
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 I was hoping you played this song named Aboriginal as the song of the week. This song is very special to me because two of my friends are in the band, Cole and Steph. I met them because of gaming and connected with them by playing games. They have done more for me than they honestly know, and I was hoping I could return this favor if you played their song. The band should be especially important to Colin because, as a matter of fact, they are from Long Island. Lake Grove, to be exact.
Oh, you know Lake Grove boys, yeah.
Did you hang out there once in a while?
No.
Okay.
Do you have any good restaurants in Lake Grove?
No.
No.
No, sure.
Anything good to say about it at all?
No.
It's got a nice lake?
It's a nice place.
Okay. The band's name is Redstone Repeater, and the song's name is Aboriginal. You can download it for free, along with their whole EP, at practiceroomrecords.com/projects/redstonerepeater. If the Beyond PlayStation community has taught me one thing, it's about helping and giving back, so I wanted to give back to some of my best friends. Thank you, Patrick. You get to give back to them, but no one else ever will.
That's it.
And unless your band is from Long Island, then...
No, I was just going to say it. How am I going to check that?
I don't know. You got to look into it.
I'm never going to check it. I'm never going to check that fact.
Did you just decree the end of positivity for the Beyond community right here, Greg?
Right, that was it.
We're not reaching out and helping others. It's all about ourselves now.
A lot this week where people are like, oh, my friends
did this. So here are the rules. If you have a band and you want your music on Podcast Beyond, you can email us at beyond@IGN.com. Mm-hmm. Unless your friend's band is from Long Island, not Brooklyn or Queens, but actually Long Island...
Okay.
And you're not in that band, that is still allowed.
That's allowed. That's the exception.
Simple rules. Just like getting on 350. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. This is Redstone Repeater with Aboriginal. Beyond!
Beyond! Beyond!
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues, and it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.